You know, as we celebrate Palm Sunday today, most of Lent is now behind us, and we enter Holy Week. And as cries of Hosanna are still ringing in our ears from the procession of the palms, we hear the bloodthirsty cry of the crowd saying, "Crucify him," of the Passion narrative. "God save us," which is the meaning of Hosanna, becomes "God damn him." "May Christ be blessed" becomes "May Christ be cursed," for cursed is everyone who is hung from a tree. The excited waving of palm branches becomes the bloodstained wood of the cross. The distressing combination of the triumphal entry into Jesus and the crucifixion on its outcurse prepare us for the intensity of the week ahead. As discombobulated as we may be by the events of Jesus' day, his mission would not be disturbed. He carried onward with the assignment that the Father had given him, even as the crowds turned against him. His obedience represents a remarkable steadfastness that we as his disciples must take note of. And so I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 11. So Philippians chapter 2. And here Paul presents for us really a beautiful image of the nature of Jesus. And I want to draw you firstly to verse 8, where Paul writes, "He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So this Greek word for obedient means placing oneself under what one's heard, and therefore submitting to what one has heard. In our culture, the word obey has various meanings. When we were children, obedience meant avoiding punishment. And if we didn't obey our parents, well, we knew the consequences. You know, we'd be grounded or spanked, or we'd lose some kind of privilege. So we say today we obey the law, but for the most part, it doesn't require us to do very much. We know it's wrong to steal, we know it's wrong to kill, but there's no great sacrifice required for us to obey. Obedience simply means avoiding those things that society says is wrong. But when a genuine sacrifice is required, that's when we're tempted to disobey. If we're late to an appointment, we won't give it a second thought to disobey the speed limit, will we? Because it's more important for us to arrive on time than it is for us to obey the law. Many Roman Catholics have long questioned their obedience to the teachings of their church. Take Aaron and Mickey Whitford. When they were married, they promised that they would raise their family Catholic. And afterward, they discovered that Mickey had a low sperm count because of a genetic condition. Desiring to have children, they decided to undergo in vitro fertilization, even though they knew the Catholic Church's prohibition against it. It was more important for them to have kids than to obey their church. And as society changes, we justify our disobedience of God's word by giving the Bible, well, new understandings, even though these are long-held traditions that have been held. Many would rather go their own way than to obey God. As disciples, we have a lot to learn about obedience. Jesus offers us a different way. He was obedient to the point of death. His father had told him to sacrifice his life, and he obeyed. It was a huge price to pay. You know, it really astounds me to the extent that his life was submitted to the Father. Here's what he said in John chapter 5, 19. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise." So often we're ambitious, desiring to make a name for ourselves, trying to prove to the world that we are somebody. But in reality, Jesus shows us that we are nobody apart from God. It is in obedience that we find our true selves. What is required to have the kind of obedience that Jesus had? Well, I think two qualities stand out from Philippians chapter 2. The first is humility. We are told in verse 6 that Jesus was in the form of God. And form here means the true and exact nature of God. He possessed all the characteristics and qualities of God. We know from John chapter 1 that he existed with God from the very beginning, and that all things were created through him, and without him nothing was made. In other words, he was truly God. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were commanded not to construct any image of God, either of wood or metal. Why? Because the one true icon of God was to appear later in human history. That perfect icon is Jesus Christ. And if you've seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. Now take a moment to think about it. God himself appeared on earth in human form. And yet we read in verse 7, he made himself nothing. And what that literally says is that he emptied himself as he took on the form of a servant. In other words, he took off his glorious God-likeness, emptying himself of it, and exchanged it for the true and exact likeness of a human servant. Jesus humbled himself in the most extraordinary way. In the reading of the Passion narrative earlier, we got a vivid picture of that. Here was the very Son of God subjecting himself to corrupt human authorities, even allowing himself to be lined, tortured, and ultimately crucified on the cross. From a human, worldly perspective, this was the end of Jesus. Humanity, it appeared, had conquered God. You can imagine the celebration at that moment that must have taken place in hell. But from God's perspective, it was anything but the end. In response to his son's obedience, God lifted him up and gave him authority, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow on heaven and on earth. Isn't it reassuring to know that Jesus has authority over all things? No matter what happens here, he is Lord. Nothing is greater or more powerful than he is. Paul, in presenting this beautiful depiction of Jesus' life, is providing us with an important spiritual lesson. And if we take it seriously, it could truly be life transforming for us. In humility, we will be lifted up. And if there's one lesson from Holy Week this week that you want to take back with you, it is this one. The very first human being, Adam, illustrates what happens to a life when it doesn't humble itself before God. Adam didn't possess a divine nature, but he yearned to be like God. He was jealous of God, and he yearned to have what God had. And so he reached for the tree, the fruit of the tree of knowledge that God had prohibited him to eat. And then we know what happened to him after that. Rather than becoming like God, he lost his immortality and became mortal. The trajectory of Adam's life is the consequence of so many who never humble themselves before God. Their arrogance leads to destruction. Take Harvey Weinstein. Back in the 90s, he was one of the most powerful men in Hollywood. In 1979, Harvey and his brother founded independent film distribution and production company Miramax, naming it after their parents, Miriam and Max. Miramax virtually created the art house boom in the 1990s, turning offbeat and inexpensive movies like Pulp Fiction and Shakespeare in Love into mainstream hits. While at Miramax, the Weinsteins received 341 Oscar nominations and 81 Academy Awards. But behind the scenes, Weinstein's power and influence fueled arrogance so that he began to think he had the right to any woman that he desired. More than 80 women have publicly accused him of sexual misconduct. Today, he is 4 years into a 23-year sentence for rape and sexual assault in New York. And just last year, the former Hollywood producer was sentenced to another 16 years in prison for rape in L.A. Here was a man who had everything and has now lost it all. Christ, by contrast, did not grasp for his divinity, even though he was tortured and crucified on a cross. Instead, he emptied himself by obeying the voice of God. And as a result, he became the source of salvation for all of humanity. While human beings will always seek to exploit the humble, God loves to raise up those who humble themselves before him. Obedience requires humility. And without it, we will always think our own thoughts and beliefs trump God's authority. The second requirement required of obedience is love. Jesus knew the Father loved him. Repeatedly, and especially in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "The Father loves the Son." It's amazing how often he says that. He was sure the Father's love of him no matter what. And therefore, as he looked to the horrors of the passion and the cross ahead, he obeyed because he knew God loved him and would not abandon him. You know, we can do incredible things if we know we are loved. And that's what Paul wants the Philippians to realize when he says in verse 4, "If there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, let each of you look not only at his own interest, but also at the interests of others." Because they were loved in Christ, they had the capacity to look beyond themselves to the needs of others and to follow the will of God. That's what John the Baptist did. You know, in John chapter 3, after Jesus began his public ministry, he and his disciples were baptizing peoples, and crowds started to follow them rather than John. And when it was pointed out to him, John didn't become defensive, but rather he answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. I am not the Christ, but I've been sent before him. He must increase, but I must decrease." Even though his ministry was coming to an end, John knew God loved him, and therefore he willingly obeyed and submitted his ministry to the greater ministry of Jesus. Jesus obeyed to the point of death, not merely for obedience' sake, but so that you and I could be set free and reconciled to God. That's the depth of God's love for us. So know in the deepest recesses of your hearts that you are loved. As God's precious children, therefore, obedience does not mean the loss of life and identity. To obey is actually means to become who God created you to be. We find ourselves when we humble ourselves to him. As we enter this Holy Week, let us meditate on the works of Christ, that we may follow in the example the one who obeyed as he looked death in the face, even death on the cross. Amen.